It's 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 56 degrees in Central Park. Of course, we're going to be following subway traffic as the search goes on for the shooter in Brooklyn. Michael Barr is back with us with more on that and what else is happening in New York. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. Reaction and information continue from yesterday's mass shooting on a Brooklyn subway that left 10 people shot. This man was one of the victims.
You see like a smoke, black smoke bomb going off, and then people bum rushing to the back. This pregnant woman was in front of me. I was trying to help her. I didn't know there were shots at first. I just thought it was a black smoke bomb.
New York City Police Commissioner Keechan Sewell.
The suspect is a dark-skinned male and was wearing a neon orange vest and a gray-colored sweatshirt. We do have a person of interest in this investigation.
Commissioner Sewell says he has identified as 62-year-old Frank James. A motive remains unclear. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says the city is working to ensure the safety of subway riders.
Immediately, we're going to double down on our patrol strength. If I was not here, recovering from COVID, I would be on that subway system today, because I think as the mayor, you have to lead from the front.
By the way, Mayor Adams will speak to Bloomberg at 8:45 a.m. Wall Street time. New York Governor Kathy Hochul agrees with Mayor Adams in calling for an end to gun violence.
The last time there was a mass shooting on our subway system, I believe, was 1984. So I don't want to act as if and treat this as a normal experience on our subway. This is a rarity, but one instance like this is one too many.
President Biden echoed what Governor Hochul said.
Jill and I, my wife Jill and I, are praying for those that are injured and all those touched by that trauma. And we're grateful for all the first responders who jumped into action, including civilians who didn't hesitate to help their fellow passengers and try to shield them.
President Biden says his team has been in touch with Mayor Adams, the NYPD, the Department of Justice, and the FBI in the investigation. New York Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin has been resigned in the wake of his arrest in a federal corruption investigation. Benjamin, a Democrat, was accused in an indictment of participating in a scheme to obtain campaign contributions from a real estate developer when he was a state senator. British opposition politicians are again calling on UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson to resign. Police are fining the Prime Minister for breaking his own lockdown laws on COVID. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. On what was obviously a very harrowing morning in Brooklyn, the day ended with an NBA play-in game at the Barclays Center and a victory for the Nets.
Rebound deflected loose. Brown's got it again. Out to Irving. Left wing. Here's a three. It's good for Kyrie. He still hasn't missed. And Cleveland needs a timeout. Nets match their largest lead of the game. Nets 67 and the Cavs 47. Kyrie is 10 for 10.
WFAN had the call. Kyrie Irving was going to make his first 12 shots. He scored 34 points. Kevin Durant added 25. Nets never trailed. Beat Cleveland 115-108. Now it's on to Boston. Game one of the playoff series with the Celtics Sunday afternoon. Minnesota won the play-in game in the West over the LA Clippers. The Rangers at the Garden were hoping to knock off Carolina, move into a tie for first in the Metropolitan Division. Didn't happen. Hurricanes with three in the third, won 4-2, and now lead by 4 points. Chris Kreider did score a late goal for the Rangers, became the fourth in team history to score 50 in a season. Islanders beat the Penguins 5-4. Devils won 6-2. At Arizona. Shutout wins for the Mets and Yankees. The Mets 2-0 in Philadelphia as Tyler McGill turned in his second brilliant outing. McGill is 2-0, has yet to allow a run in over 10 innings on the mound. At the stadium, Yankees over Toronto 4-0. Nestor Cortes didn't finish the fifth inning, so he couldn't get credit for the win, but he was outstanding, followed by four relievers. Together, Yankee pitchers allowed only 5 hits, struck out 10, and did not walk a batter. Aaron Hicks hit a 2-run homer. Garrett Cole starts tonight. Max Scherzer will be on the mound at a day game for the Mets in Philly. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Oh, that'll be fun. Thanks, John. Red headline crossed the Bloomberg terminal moments ago. Perhaps a vote of confidence for the return to office. Google plans to invest $9.5 billion in U.S. offices and data centers in 2022 and also plans to create at least 12,000 new full-time jobs by the end of the year. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather turning mostly cloudy with a high near 70 today. Scattered showers, chance for late day thunderstorm tomorrow. Highs near 80. We'll be back in the mid 60s. Mostly sunny by Friday. Right now, 56 in Central Park.
markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures moving higher this morning. Bonds are falling as investors weigh inflation risks against the start of the earnings season. Check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 27 points, Dow futures up 172, and NASDAQ futures up 115. The DAX in Germany's down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 2.75%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.41%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4%, or 38 cents, at $100.99 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, or $2.50, at $1,978.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0829 against the dollar. British pound 1.3002, and they get at 126.17. Bitcoin is higher, up 1.5%, at $40,120. And today we're looking for another report on inflation with the producer price index out at 8:30 Wall Street time. J.P. Morgan Chase, BlackRock, and Delta among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The Biden administration is preparing a military assistance package of roughly $750 million for Ukraine in its battles against Russian invaders. People familiar with the matter said the types of weapons in the package are still being discussed. The New York City police say the gunman in yesterday's subway shooting in Brooklyn is still on the loose. Police are looking for a person of interest. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Cavs in the Eastern Conference play-in opener. Brooklyn now faces the Celtics on Sunday. In MLB, the Yankees, Mets, Red Sox won. The Giants also won and made history. Alyssa Knocken became the first female coach on the field in the regular season game after the original first base coach was ejected. The Nationals, Orioles, and A's lost. In the NHL, the Islanders won in a shootout with the Penguins 5-4. The Rangers lost. Devils and Capitals won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to go right now to Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Lots to get to with you, Greg, this morning, not the least of which is the subway attack in Brooklyn. The search still ongoing for the suspect. We're actually going to be speaking with New York City Mayor Eric Adams on Bloomberg Radio and Television later on this morning. Is there a political dimension to this attack, given the rise in violent crime we've seen in many cities and Congress seemingly having difficulties acting on violent crime?
Yeah, I think it's a factor, Nathan. Good morning. I think that everything, of course, in Washington is politicized. That's the nature of this city. And with crime statistics looking really horrible and New York City crime statistics getting worse, it's a political factor. I mean, Biden has a lot to worry about. Illegal immigration, Ukraine, Hunter Biden, a long, long list of things to him to be concerned about. And I would have to say crime is high on the list.
How would you expect President Biden to react to this incident in New York City? We had the announcement just this week on ghost guns. Is there more that the president can or should be doing to respond to this?
There's not a lot, but at the same time, he has to refute the idea that Democrats are soft on crime or want to defund the police. That's not really quite fair. Not that politics is ever fair, but I don't think Biden has ever embraced defund the police. He's got to make a stronger case that he wants to spend more on police.
Now, we've seen a strong statement, certainly the strongest yet from President Biden when it comes to the war in Ukraine, now labeling Russia's actions, particularly in northern Ukraine, a genocide. Why the shift?
Well, the facts. I mean, they're finding so many bodies, people who have been tortured and killed. I mean, just when you think this couldn't get any more depressing, you hear Putin yesterday totally rejecting any possibility of negotiation, saying he's going to fight on. And you see these atrocities continuing. I do worry that the next phase that's now beginning on flat ground is different from a phase that would be guerrilla warfare in the hills. And I do think the next couple of weeks could be unnerving for the rest of the world, seeing the Russian troops continue to advance.
Yeah, certainly the images out of Bucha and other cities in northern Ukraine have been horrifying. And now we have these unverified claims of chemical potential strikes in Mariupol. But the president in the past has been reticent to use the word genocide. He's called it war crimes. Is this a label that the White House is going to back up?
I think they're going to send a lot more sophisticated arms, Nathan. I think there will be even tougher sanctions, but it's awfully hard to see how that's going to stop a Russian advance. The idea that the U.S. could retaliate with chemical weapons or even send troops into Ukraine is out of the question. I don't see that happening.
Well, what kind of military assistance do you expect that we will see from the White House and the Pentagon? We've heard reports that there's going to be another surge of $750 million in equipment, but we've all heard from President Zelensky what he's really looking for, what he has been looking for weeks now, is a no-fly zone, at least fighter jets. Do you think it goes to that point?
Fighter jets, maybe. No-fly zone, I think, would be really provocative. I wouldn't see that. Also, I'd like to see that some of our allies talk a little tougher or do things tougher. Germany in particular, good story on that in this morning's New York Times, and countries like India or even Israel that haven't shown the support one would expect.
Got about 30 seconds left here, Greg. We're expecting the presidents of Poland and the three Baltic states to go to Kiev today. And we have, of course, last weekend, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson head to the Ukraine capital as well. Do you think President Biden is or should go there?
At some point he might. I don't think he's there yet. But looking out over the next few weeks, one of the big wild cards is much more blatant involvement by NATO.
As always, Greg Valliere, great to get your insights. Thanks again for being with us. Greg Valliere is Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Right now, S&P futures are higher by 25 points. Dow futures up 168. NASDAQ futures on the rise by 109 points. 10-year Treasuries down 10/32 with a yield 2.75, almost 2.76%. The yield on the 2-year right now, 2.41%. Looking at NYMEX crude, back up $100 a barrel. Up above that, up 0.25%, up 25 cents at $100.84 a barrel. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report, and top 10 for best career placement among public schools by the Princeton Review. More at njit.edu.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The New York City Police Department has identified a person of interest in yesterday's subway shooting. 10 people were wounded and 13 were injured in the attack. NYPD Chief James Essig says officials are looking for 62-year-old Frank James.
We are endeavoring to locate him to determine his connection to the subway shooting, if any.
Chief Essig says James is a person of interest in the incident. More on the manhunt coming up shortly in local news.
In the meantime, in Washington, Karen, the U.S. is preparing to send roughly $750 million in new military aid to Ukraine as it battles Russia. President Biden has some strong words for Russian President Vladimir Putin. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the latest.
This is the first clear declaration without equivocation.
I called it genocide because it's become clearer and clearer that Putin is just trying to wipe out the idea of even being able to be a Ukrainian.
And says it affects the rest of the free world in a number of different ways.
Your family budget, your ability to fill up your tank, none of it should hinge on whether a dictator declares war and commits genocide and
half a world away.
The use of the word showing a major shift in verbiage. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Turning to the economy now, the Fed's keeping a close eye on inflation as a couple of central bankers speak out about interest rates. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard tells the Financial Times that U.S. monetary policy needs to be tightened to a point that it curtails economic growth or policymakers will risk their credibility. He supports a half a percentage point increase next month and says the rate should move up sharply after that. Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin says the central bank should raise interest rates to the neutral range as quickly as possible and can move above that price if pressures continue. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. On Wall Street today, J.P. Morgan releases first quarter earnings. Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo has a preview.
J.P. Morgan's performance will offer a first look at banking fees for the second quarter. Bloomberg Intelligence expects loans should be a strength, while seasonal weakness will likely drag on the credit card business. We'll also be watching for J.P. Morgan's comments on client demand, plus full-year loan growth targets and economic risks. Any remarks from Jamie Dimon are sure to garner attention. The J.P. Morgan CEO will likely be asked about geopolitical risk and monetary policy on the company's conference call. In New York, I'm Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Lisa, thank you. S&P futures up 25 points this morning, and straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 533 on Wall Street, 55 degrees in Central Park. We got a truck fire eastbound 78 express lanes at exit 49 in Union. Details coming up in traffic. First, let's get the latest on the manhunt and more than what's going on in New York and around the world. Here's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Police continue to search for the gunman who opened fire on a subway train in Brooklyn. Tuesday morning's attack left 10 people wounded by gunfire. NYPD Chief of Detectives James Essick.
Brandishes a Glock 9mm handgun. He then fired that weapon at least 33 times, striking 10 people.
Chief Essex says the search is focused partly on a man said to have rented a van possibly connected to the violence. Investigators stress they weren't sure whether the man, Frank James, was responsible for the shooting, but authorities say the 62-year-old is a person of interest. Victims from yesterday's shooting on the Brooklyn subway are talking. This man says he was trying to help a pregnant woman after smoke bombs went off.
She said, "I'm pregnant with a baby." I hugged her, and then the bum rush continued. I got pushed, and that's when I got shot in the back of my knee.
New York Mayor Eric Adams.
We're telling anyone that's approaching anyone that they believe is suspicious to notify the police department. But at this time, the person is not apprehended. There's no reason for us to believe that he's not still armed.
Mayor Adams will speak with Bloomberg later this morning, starting at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says this gun violence has to end now.
It has to end, and it ends now. And we are sick and tired of reading headlines about crime.
Governor Hochul visited the hospital where some of the victims were admitted. New York Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin resigned from office after being charged with funneling illicit donations to one of his past campaigns when he was a state senator. British opposition politicians are calling on Boris Johnson to resign after it was revealed the police are fining the prime minister for breaking his own lockdown laws over COVID. And sad news in the comedy world. We've lost Gilbert Gottfried. He died yesterday at age 67. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, talk about a busy sports night in the Big Apple. Rangers were at the Garden. Nets played in Brooklyn. Yankees in the Bronx. Islanders were home as well. The Nets, due to the new NBA play-in system, had to win a game to gain entry to the NBA playoffs. They got it, although a 22-point lead was cut to 6. Nets beat the Cavs 115-108. Kyrie Irving scored 34 points against a team he used to play for, and now he's going to face another team he used to play for.
At Boston, I'm grateful to play against one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference that have been playing well all year. It's another challenge for us, another test. But I think we've answered a few questions towards the end of the season where we were in the 10th spot, and then all of a sudden, one day later, we're in the 7th spot, and we had the opportunity to win some games in a row.
Nets-Celtics should be a great series. The Celtics finished the season going 26-6. Game 1 Sunday afternoon in Boston. Minnesota beat the LA Clippers in the West play-in game. Losers last night play again on Friday. Rangers lost to first-place Carolina 4-2, but Chris Kreider did score a late goal. He joins Vic Hadfield, Adam Graves, and Jaromir Jagr, only Rangers to score 50 goals in a season. Islanders beat Pittsburgh 5-4. The Devils won 6-2 at Arizona. The Mets rotation, already with Max Scherzer, hopefully Jacob DeGrom back from injury at some point, and Tyler McGill, two starts, two wins, yet to allow a run. McGill and the Mets won 2-0 in Philadelphia, home run for Brandon Nimmo. Yankees also with a shutout. Nestor Cortes and four relievers teaming up for a five-hitter, a 4-0 shutout of the Blue Jays. Aaron Hicks at a two-run home. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
More New York businesses may be able to get a tax break after policymakers agreed to make a technical fix in a budget deal signed by Governor Kathy Hochul. Tucked inside the spending plan is an adjustment to tax laws. It'll allow more New York residents to receive the full benefit of a SALT cap workaround. Sources tell Bloomberg Facebook is adding more offices in Manhattan. The company, known formerly as Meta Platforms, will take nearly 300,000 square feet at 770 Broadway. It's a property near Astor Place where it already has space. With a new lease, Facebook will have nearly the entire building. Get your golf putters out and party hats ready. In June, London-based Swingers will introduce New York to its alcohol and music-fueled mini-golf experience, which it calls Crazy Golf. The club's located below the upcoming Virgin Hotel in Manhattan's increasingly busy Nomad neighborhood. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Crazy. Thank you, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about how hybrid work plans pose a big threat to office landlords.
I'm John Tucker for KTRH in Houston. I'm reporting on a truck blockade at the Mexican border.
I'm Scott Carr. On WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting on millions more being invested in a Chicago software startup for marijuana dispensaries.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Jeep has announced plans for bigger versions of its upscale Wagoneer and Grand Wagoneer SUVs.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
After resisting for decades, China may soon agree to let American regulators see the audit work papers of Chinese companies listed on U.S. exchanges, potentially sparing those firms from being delisted. While some hawks would no doubt prefer to block all Chinese companies from access to U.S. financing, this climb down should be welcomed. Having China play by the same rules as everyone else would represent a victory for transparency and would strengthen confidence in U.S. markets. It would also slow the loss of business to Chinese exchanges while giving U.S. investors greater opportunity to benefit from China's growth, and it would be a win for China as well, by allowing Chinese companies continued access to crucial U.S. markets. Friction in the U.S.-China relationship may be inevitable. That's all the more reason for both sides to seize on this opportunity for cooperation. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. S&P futures up 18 points right now. Dow futures up 121. NASDAQ futures higher by 82 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 8/32 with a yield 2.75%. Yield on the 2-year right now 2.42% as we await the kickoff of first quarter earnings season from J.P. Morgan Chase. We'll get a preview next with Bloomberg's Shanali Basak. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather becoming mostly cloudy with a high near 70 today. Scattered showers tomorrow, maybe a late day thunderstorm. Highs near 80. We'll be back in the mid 60s by Friday. 55 is the current temperature in Central Park.
markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the rise. Bonds are falling as investors weigh inflation risks against the start of earnings season. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 18 points. Dow futures up 116. NASDAQ futures up 78. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32nds. Yield 2.74%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.42%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.33% or 33 cents at $100.94 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5.40 at $1981.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0828 against the dollar. British pound 1.2999. The yen is at 126.13. And Bitcoin this morning is up 1.4% at $40,100. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The New York City Police Department has identified a person of interest in yesterday's chaotic shooting at a Brooklyn subway station that left 23 people injured, including 10 shot. The shooter remains at large. NYPD Commissioner Keechan Sewell.
At this time, we still do not know the suspect's motivation.
Commissioner Sewell says keys found at the scene of the attack belong to a U-Haul van rented by 62-year-old Frank James. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Cavs in the Eastern Conference play-in opener. Brooklyn now faces the Celtics on Sunday. In MLB, the Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, and Giants won. The Nationals, Orioles, and A's lost. In the NHL, the Islanders won in a shootout with the Penguins, 5-4. The Rangers lost. The Devils and Capitals won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Just about 5:49 now on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and as Karen mentioned, we are getting set for the kickoff of first quarter earnings season. It must really be here, because Bloomberg Global Finance correspondent Shanali Basak is with me here in the studio getting ready for the first of the big six Wall Street banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, to open up the first quarter books. Shanali, great to see you this morning.
Great to see you.
So there's so much volatility in this market right now. And, of course, J.P. Morgan's going to set the tone for what we see from the rest of the big six. What are you really keeping an eye on?
Well, number one is Jamie Dimon, the CEO's outlook for the economy this year and how that might impact operations. As we know that costs are going up at the banks. But what we have not accounted for is, are provisions for loan losses going to come back because the economy might be in a tougher space in the next year or even 2 years? So while Jamie Dimon and JP Morgan said that reserve releases were made, really helping earnings last year, they may start to get tighter on underwriting standards. And if they do that, then everybody does. There's a big worry out there about what underwriting standards will look like.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of analysts, folks like yourself, are watching not just what's the deal, but where are the deals right now, because there's been quite a lot less M&A activity than there was leading into this year.
Yeah, the overall corporate and investment banking business does not have the same tailwinds as it did last year. So trading is expected to go down. And remember, JP Morgan had an exposure to that commodities, that nickel trader that we saw really hit a lot of trouble this year. So are they going to say anything about nickel? What about inflation? Other commodities? Investment banking, advisory, debt, equity, all down on the year, but their pipeline will be important. This month, after the quarter ended, there's about $100 billion worth of debt underwriting expected in this month alone. So some of that could come back.
But when it comes to the trading, there's been so much volatility, especially given all that's going on in the war in Ukraine. A lot of ups and downs, particularly in the stock market. Could we see a bit of a tailwind there for the trading desk?
That's a great question, because equity and debt underwriting are very closely linked to underwriting. So if underwriting drops off, which we know it has, it really does hurt equities. What's more is that the volatility was so high in the quarter. Usually high volatility means more trading, but this quarter, tons of hedge funds lost tons of money. And so the buy side is not as robust coming into this quarter as it was earlier last year when they were doing much better.
And thinking about about the outlook, Shanali. Obviously, we're in a Fed tightening cycle right now. We're seeing interest rates already going up to levels that we haven't seen in a couple of years here. How could that potentially affect the bottom line for JP Morgan
Chase? Yeah, the thing is the net interest income, the money they make off of loans, the fact that that might rise is a very exciting thing for most of the industry. However, the yield curve is still very flat. And so banks, you know, they lend long, they borrow short. If that yield curve is still flat, then the money they make from those loans will not be as profitable as they otherwise would be.
Now you got to wonder as well what kind of demand we see for loans when rates are starting to go up, and particularly on the corporate side. A lot of companies are sitting on huge piles of cash from all the stimulus we've gotten during the pandemic.
Yeah, that's a great question. What is the demand for loans, especially as interest rates rise? You saw so much mortgage refinancing that's really started to taper off. And then also, remember, just prices of things are higher. People don't want to borrow necessarily to make big purchases right now. So there is a demand question when it comes to loans. And also, are these healthy loans? When we saw the pandemic really take off, people started to save money. People started to shore up their balance sheets. But are people borrowing now because they're trying to stave off inflation? Are they borrowing now because they need to borrow to afford basic goods? That's a big question that the banks are going to face.
Yeah, and it goes back to the outlook, the health of the consumer, whether they're feeling squeezed by all this inflation. Shanali Basak, Bloomberg Global Finance Correspondent, with us, getting ready for those JP Morgan Chase earnings. We're expecting them sometime around 7 a.m. Wall Street time, as those headlines cross the Bloomberg terminal. We'll be bringing them right to you here on Bloomberg Radio. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. We get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Nuclear Regulatory Commission staffers recommend that the agency improve its environmental justice strategy to better define the outreach to tribes and other communities that bear the brunt of nuclear industry development. Northrop Grumman Systems agreed to pay $35 million to the government in connection with cleanup costs at the former Naval Weapons Industrial Reserve plant in New York. A Pennsylvania appeals court ruled that the state does not have to prove that the cannabis in a driver's bloodstream was non-medical when prosecuting him for driving under the influence.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Right, Jeff, thank you. Another legal story we're watching. A Texas district attorney has dropped his murder prosecution of a woman for allegedly causing the death of an individual by a self-induced abortion. The 26-year-old woman was indicted on murder charges at the end of March and spent 3 days in jail before being released on a $500,000 bond. The district attorney admitted this week that it was clear she could not be prosecuted under Texas law, and a judge dismissed the charges. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Mary Ziegler, a professor at the Florida State University College of Law and an expert in reproductive rights.
The Starr County District Attorney got a grand jury to sign off on a murder indictment on March 30th. But this week, the district attorney admitted the woman had not committed a crime and dropped the charges. Do you have any understanding of why he charged her in the first place?
It's hard to say. I mean, there's no legal explanation, obviously, because it's worth emphasizing, right, that it's not just the case that there was no statute that authorized this prosecution. Texas homicide law actually explicitly spells out that you cannot punish women for having abortions. So this was a case where this was expressly prohibited by law, not just that there was no way this was authorized. It was expressly prohibited. I think the best way you can understand it is as part of a kind of general fragmentation of authority in the anti-abortion movement and a kind of shift away from feeling limited by what the law is now. Because, I mean, historically, the anti-abortion movement would have had to work within the confines of Roe v. Wade and would wait until the Supreme Court said that it was changing the rules before adjusting. And now, of course, we live in a world where legislators routinely pass laws they know are unconstitutional now because they no longer care about what the law is now. They care about what they expect the Supreme Court will do soon. And the only way I can understand what happened in Texas is that it's sort of part of the same phenomenon, right, where prosecutors are saying, you know, we're going to act as if the law is the way we want it to be, or act as if we can predict what the law will be soon, rather than actually paying attention to the rule of law as it currently stands.
The district attorney admitted she hadn't committed a crime only after the case got national attention. She spent 3 days in prison. Her name and mugshot have been published across media nationwide. Is this a case for a malicious prosecution lawsuit?
I think there's definitely an argument for that, yeah, because it's really hard to see what basis there was for this. So there's no good faith argument that you can prosecute a woman in Texas for inducing her own abortion at all, much less for murder. I'm not a Texas expert particularly, but I mean, all you need to do is read Texas's homicide statute to know the answer to this. So it would not be a bad idea to establish that this was a malicious prosecution so that people don't follow the same path.
And that's Mary Ziegler, a professor at the Florida State University College of Law, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures moving higher this morning, with S&P futures up 12 points, Dow futures up 88, and NASDAQ futures up 52. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, the yield 2.74%. And straight ahead, our top stories and a check on the business headlines. And this is Bloomberg.